always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
An update on the Austin Reeves free agency front. Keith Smith, obviously, is Spotrac. He does work with Trevor Lane as well. Updated 2026 cap space projections, factoring in the Brooklyn, Chicago, Minnesota trade. The Lakers sit in the top spot with $52.1 million. That is obviously...
Hell yeah, number one. Rob Pelinka, baby.
If that is if they renounce LeBron James and Rui Hachimura, and if, like, I would imagine, okay, Lakers projection includes Reeves cap hold and Ayton opt-in, but no other cap holds. So that means Smart opts out, LeBron and Rui are rescinded. And then from there, you have the Nets at 36.1, which means if they would want to offer Austin Reeves his max, they would have to do some work to open it up. And same goes for the Bulls, who sit a little below them now at $32.5 million in cap space. But yeah, I think that, like, with this upcoming draft, I don't think it's going to happen. But someday, honestly, I don't think we're going to see it happen ever because of how Rob operates. But, like, if Rob is eventually replaced, I think the number one question that, like, Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and Mark Walter would eventually have to ask is, what is your basketball vision? We'll see what comes of that.
I would actually love to hear Rob's answer to that in a press conference.
Yeah. Like what style of basketball would you like to see the team that you are in charge of?
The problem is he would just duck it. He'd be like, you know, like I'd like to work in collaboration with Luca, and, you know, we envision a team with a lot of, he'd come up with whatever their new version of thrust is. New word that's never been used in basketball before.
Yeah. Yeah. It's.
He's like, we just believe that a team's got to have heft. The acronym that we're, you know, it's a great question, Anthony, but the acronym that we're living by is JUICE.
Yeah, no, bucket get ability is the factor in. And you get me a bucket. All right, let's see. I'm going to, while I prepare to scroll through the comments here, let's really quickly dive into the subject of Luka potentially leaving. And the reason that I think it is...
So let's just really quickly touch on the nightmare scenario, you know?
Well, I don't think it's worth spending an entire show on.
Yeah, yeah. No, right? I'm with, like, you. It's just, like, funny. It's like, let's really 5 minutes. Let's just scare people at the end of the show. And then maybe if there's some super comments.
Well, but, like, I think we kind of did... By the way, you're muted. We kind of did kind of hint at, like, whether or not Luka could leave or why he would if he did and all that stuff. Like, if you've been listening and paying attention to what we've been talking about, it shouldn't be difficult to read between the lines, especially with could Luka Doncic leave outlined there at the bottom of us, you know, down below. But, like, the could Luka Doncic leave question. I saw that, AM570, I think it was Andy and Ireland were having this conversation. John Ireland, obviously voice of the Lakers.
I was assuming you didn't mean the country of Ireland, and Andy Kamenetsky the Irish ambassador to the US were talking about the Lakers cap space options.
Well, the reason I mentioned that John Ireland is the radio voice of the Lakers is that, you know, he gets his checks at least in whatever way, signed by the team. He was of the opinion that no way Luka wouldn't leave. Come on. And I thought Andy, to his credit, was like, wait, what? Yes, of course he could leave. And I thought it was interesting that that was taking place on airwaves of a corporate partner of the Los Angeles Lakers, right? AM 710. So yeah, I'll ask you, Harrison, like, you know, how real a threat should the Lakers consider this?
You know, if I think that ultimately not that real of a threat yet, because again, we need to see how the plan shakes out and how happy is Luka with how this summer shakes out. And you know, that's obviously unknowable until, you know, mid-July, August, whatever, training camp, maybe, even given how Luka sort of operates and like isn't that available and like out there with the media doing podcasts, stuff like that during the offseason. Like we just may not know where he's at, unless, you know, if it's a home run offseason, I expect like Luka will have his like comms team put together a tweet for him just saying like, you know, honored to continue this franchise tradition. Like, you know, I love his tweets because they're like so not his voice. If you've ever heard him interview, it's like, yeah, it's incredible. Like, they don't even pretend that it's Luka.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, no, I laughed the other day at the leak of Jalen Brunson put something on his like LinkedIn. And part of the report was that, like, and, you know, word is that Jalen Brunson is involved to some extent on his LinkedIn. It's like, if you have to say that, like, yeah, what are we doing?
I remember Josh Hart used to be a big LinkedIn guy. I don't know if he still is. He updated his profile.
He looks like
he like achievements. He put like NBA guy. Championship.
Yeah.
Josh Hart has endorsed Jalen Brunson for saving your ass in a pinch.
Jalen Brunson yet to endorse Josh Hart for, yeah, layups late in the game.
Yeah. So I'm not worried about it yet because, again, we have to see how this whole offseason shakes out. But I do think that it's something that the Lakers should be, as any team is with their star, they should always be concerning themselves with, of how much does this guy want to be here? And, you know, there's two questions about the star. Is like, how much do we think that we want to continue to build around this guy? And, okay, if we do, then how much does he want to be here? And, you know, I think that if Luka does eventually leave, I think the only notable thing right now is like, we are going to look back on that McMenamin story as like the first seed that was planted in that saga of, you know, the shot across the bow of, hey, they've been talking up summer 2026. We're excited because let's get to work. We're excited to see all the things that they've been telling us about. That is, you know, if you're like, if Jen came home and was like, you know, you've really been talking up dinner, like, really, I'm just excited to see what you made, you'd be like, okay, shit, well, this meal better be good. I really shouldn't have done hamburger helper tonight. That was a mistake. It seems like she's again, it's not a threat, but it is a threat a little bit. And it's not Luka saying, I'm going to leave if you do not do, you know, summer 2026. But it's saying, you know, we are not married forever. I signed the extension. I gave you the show of faith. I've done everything on my end to, you know, be a good partner here. And now it's your turn. And we have to see if the Lakers deliver on that. And if they don't, then I think we start talking about, you know, 2 years out is the time when these stars have sort of the maximum possible leverage, because he's going to be eligible for another extension again. I don't think this summer, I think next summer, but that is the time when it's like, that's when the Bucks could have gotten a lot more for Giannis than they're going to end up getting, most likely.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're the Lakers and you sort of fuck the summer up, like I do think, and you sense that there's hard feelings, I mean, Rob's not going to do this because he's too focused on like remaining employed. And like, he knows how bad of a look it would basically be, like, his tendering his resignation to trade, yeah, Luka. But if they were smart, that's what they should think about doing. If if this offseason does not go well, and if, you know, Luka is expressing discontentment, you probably should just say, hey, you know, it's time to rebuild and get younger, because we painted ourselves into a corner where we sort of have this one bullet to fire this summer. And if we can't do it, and we can't execute any sort of plan or make any sort of forward momentum, then this guy is getting set to leave us. It's, you know, like, is it time to just preemptively pull the ripcord? Do you call Nico Harrison and be like, hey, when did you decide to trade Luka? And
Nico was like, I shake.
If you had to do it over again, what would you do differently?
Yeah. yeah, I think that, like, it's enough of a threat. Like, you keep framing it from a standpoint of, like, if this summer doesn't go well, right? Or if this summer goes poorly. Harrison, given the fact that they punted on a season where they had LeBron playing at an all NBA-ish, all-star-ish level, given the fact that they had Austin playing at the level that he was, at the number contractually that he was playing, given that Luka's own extension hadn't kicked in yet, like, the Lakers, they may not, like, for, as far as, like, the reporting about it and the way that the Lakers leak stuff and try to frame the narrative about this last offseason is like, oh, we just didn't have anything that we could have possibly done. Like, I'm sorry. You had a real opportunity this last season, and you punted on it. You had real opportunities when you had LeBron James and Anthony Davis on your roster, and you punted on several of those seasons.
Yes.
And to arrive now here at 2026 – not only do you need to have a better than, you know, not bad offseason, you need to have a fucking great offseason in order for all of that to be worth it. And if you don't have that caliber of an offseason, Luka Doncic, I am telling you, I'm looking into the camera right now, I'm telling you, get out. Because these people have proven that they take their superstars for granted, right? Haven't they?
Yeah, they will waste your time.
Yeah, they've outright admitted to it. Jeannie Buss said it on the record that they were just kind of like riding out that wave with Anthony Davis and with LeBron James. And they didn't like that Anthony Davis was like, yeah, bring me in a center, bring me in some help at that position. And they were
I
like,
win. Okay,
that's enough of that. You know,
like, we can't have this.
Right.
Last time a star was telling us they wanted to win, we traded for Westbrook. We can't have you telling Palinka this stuff. He's
right. So yeah, I would say that, like, this summer has to go, like, not just barely well, not just well, not it has to be a great offseason, or at the very, very, very least, it needs to be good with a very clear path to another successful transaction window after this that could elevate an already really good roster to a championship contender. That's the bare minimum of what Rob Pelinka and this entire organization have set up for themselves, where it's like, this is what we have and the reason that I say all of this obviously is because, like, if I'm Luka, that's the bar that you have set for yourself here. And if you don't live up to that bar, I'm going to Mark Walter and I'm like, can we get somebody in here who can live up to that bar? Or at the very least, like, build towards that bar over several years rather than demand or ask even that like, I just wait for the one summer where everything is going to be figured out, when that just doesn't happen. That has never happened in the history NBA.
Continuously, we've seen all of these teams have been built brick by brick. It hasn't all been built in one offseason. And so, you know, unless the GM is coming to me and saying, like, hey, you know, I need you to wait a year, and, you know, as a show of good faith and how much I believe in my abilities to get this done the next year, I am actually not even going to ask you to pay me in the interim, because I'm literally telling you I can't do my job until next summer. And, right, you know, that is how confident I am. But, like, I promise you, Rob is not doing that. He's, you know, I think very well paid. And he's like, you know, I think you really need to pay me I don't know how much he's making, like, you know, $10 million or whatever. Like, yeah. $10 million to not do anything, to make sure that we have a chance to do something later. And, you know, we can procrastinate and then just get like all of the, you know, they sort of are operating like a college student that thinks that like one night of a little bit of coffee and cocaine can get them ready for that final the next morning. You know,
it's Adderall. It's not cocaine.
Well, hey, look,
I guess depending on how desperate
I had
are.
A better GPA in college. I'm not sure what your strategies were, but
all right, let's go ahead and get to the most important sound on the show, and then
I apologize.
Answer all of your guys' questions. Cocaine's a hell of a drug. Fuck watching.
Ironically, right. A lot of guys that probably were using cocaine, like character-wise, in that shot in the show. Like if they would have continued season three, we would have seen that.
Hell, if the Lakers hadn't. Like, have you heard some of the stuff behind the scenes about season two of that show?
No.
The Lakers played a very active role in season two and made the show actively worse.
I mean, that would explain why it wasn't as good.
Yeah. All right. R. Jones LAL writes, is Jaylen Brown a good enough number two next to LeBron and LBJ?
Really quickly before you answer this, can I just say, like, was their plan in addressing winning time? Did Rob go to them and he's like, hey, you know, if you just wait till season three, I think we can put together a really strong product for you. It's like, we got this is a gap season, okay? We want nothing but filler content, but it's going to get really good and people are going to be excited in season three. Like, we're going to, you know, with all the money that we're saving right now, we're going to have the money to sign Denzel Washington as like stunt casting in season three.
No, like, he's like, look, Game of Thrones is about to end. Jeannie likes to call herself
using all their budget
Daenerys
on
Targaryen.
Game of
Jeannie likes to call herself Daenerys Targaryen. What if we get the actual Daenerys Targaryen to play Jeannie?
And it's like, I'm talking about building a cinematic universe like we have never seen before. Game of Thrones winning time crossover.
Oh, man.
Magic Johnson like- shows up at the Dance of Dragons. He's like, oh, man, those dragons are going to be a problem. Like, whoever has the better dragons is probably going to win this war.
Getting traded to like the Minnesota Timberwolves is being sent to the wall. Like, it's just oh, sorry, R. Jones LAL.
I apologize. Yeah, Brown, you will answer your question. You did pay us money to answer.
I hope that was a better answer than whatever answer you're about to get from us. on this subject, is Jaylen Brown a good enough number two? Yeah, I mean, like, he was a good enough number two next to Jason Tatum. They won a championship that way, and Luka, I think, is better than Jason Tatum. So,
yeah,
I don't see why that wouldn't work, especially if LeBron is also still there.
And I will go out on a limb and say I think LeBron is better than Derek White and or Kristaps Porzingis
or Al Horford or.
Yeah, whoever you think the third best player on that team was.
Yeah. Let's see the next question here.
That's not even controversial. Like, Luka's definitely a better player than Jason Tatum.
Yeah. Unless, you know, you're in Boston, I would say. George Love saying that a big trade just went down. Yeah, we talked a little bit earlier about the Nick Claxton, Julius Randle trade there. Our biggest takeaway is just to really quickly go over it again, is that the Brooklyn Nets and Chicago Bulls used a fairly sizable chunk of their cap space that could have otherwise been a threat to the Lakers to sign Austin away. And so even while Trae Young's big payday would lead one to believe that Austin was in line for a similar one. I actually, Harrison, I think I put this in the Slack, right? I kind of wondered if that actually set the bar here moving forward for those kinds of contracts where Trae Young signed for basically exactly the max that another team could sign him away at. And I kind of wonder if that's what the Lakers will essentially push to do here with Austin, where they sign him at the 4 year. I love the NBA.
Nobody negotiates anymore. They're just like, well, that team gave that guy that much money. So that's the precedent.
Well, nobody wants to negotiate with each other. That's
how
you get hard feelings that way.
We wouldn't, Trae Young's contract numbers, those are going to fade off the books in 4 years. But if the Wizards hurt his feelings, that's going to stick with him for a while. I think they made the right call.
Totally. Let's run UNLV writing. Luka realizing that the organization has been run so poorly that he isn't likely to make the finals as a Laker unless things change now. Good for him. I am on the record a few times over. I think Pete said it on the show. I think Harrison, you agree that this pressure that he and his camp are placing on the Lakers to make good on this summer of 2026 plan, like there should be no, and by the way, there are listeners and viewers of the show who have noted that my sentiment towards Luka on this front is for whatever reason, or at least according to those people, different than it was when LeBron was applying pressure. I'm of the opinion that superstars need to hold Rob Pelinka's feet to the fire. Like, we know that now. Otherwise, he will just sit on his hands very comfortably.
I also feel like we are not LeBron is the GM and messing up too many things. Like, we've definitely said, when LeBron has been too involved in things and made a mistake, he doesn't get to just abdicate any responsibility for that. But I think we've also been relatively consistent. The job of the GM is to make the personnel moves. And if your superstar is telling you to make a bad move, you don't just make it to make them happy. Your job, your responsibility is to the overall health of the franchise and the roster. And so that's always been a shitty excuse, in my opinion, anyway. Like, again, that's going back to the basketball philosophy thing. That's why you have to have your own basketball philosophy. You think, I saw somebody make the comment earlier. They're like, you think like the Celtics are like, hey, we're going to build this in collaboration with Jason Tatum? No. They're just doing what they want. Like, I'm sure they ask his opinion, like all teams do of their stars. I'm sure the Thunder asked Shea's opinion, but they're not like, if Shea comes and he's like, hey, you guys, like, I really want you to trade for Dylan Brooks because we're buds. And like, can you send Chet Holmgren out for him? The Thunder are just going to say no, Yeah. And like, I think, again, it's not on Luka to build a functional roster. His job is to be the engine of that roster. And it's on Rob to build the roster around him. And, I don't hold it against stars when they, in their finite careers, they hold teams' feet to the fire and say, hey, you need to make some moves so that I can win now. Like, I don't necessarily care about the long-term franchise. It's your job as the GM to balance those two things and try to keep the star happy while building the best team that you can and not, completely mortgaging the future, which is why it's a really hard job and it's why you make a lot of money. And it's like, I'm sorry, I don't care. You make enough money that I don't really care if your job's hard. That's why you got hired to do it. If you can't do it, then they should find somebody else who can.
That's the exact standard that we hold players to. Like, that's exactly how we talk about De'Aaron Fox. I don't care how difficult it is to score in the clutch on New York's defense. I don't care how difficult it is to have everything going through your brain in that play while you're shooting that layup. Like, I don't care. If you can't do that and you're making the amount of money that you're making, and I'm a Spurs fan, I'm saying bring in somebody or bring in several players who could add up to a better or steadier player than De'Aaron Fox was in that series.
It's really that simple. Play the guy on your roster who's already better.
Well, that also.
The Spurs might have a simpler fix than the Lakers do. There's no Dylan Harper sitting on the back end of the Lakers bench, I don't think.
Dalton Connect thinks so. George Love 932.
No, he doesn't. There's no way.
I bet he does. At least the people in a circle do. Why are the Lakers never part of these deals? What does this trade mean for AR and the threat of the Nets offering a deal? Do the Lakers move the pick? All right, so we've talked about the second the second and third parts of this question. Why are the Lakers never parts of these deals? So this is a part, this is a subject that gets endless speculation about, right? Where it's like, is Rob Pelinka liked around the league? And it truly depends on who you're talking to and how much that matters. Like is just completely through the eye of the beholder and the beholder. And I, on one hand, you know, people who think that that it doesn't matter would point to the fact that Rob has made plenty of trades during his time as Lakers, the lead Lakers executive. Others would maybe point to the fact that, like, yeah, one of the trades that he made got somebody fired. So executives not necessarily falling over themselves to make a deal with him because those are the kinds of deals that he is looking to make. And so, like, and then on top of that, you would maybe point to how the Sacramento Kings, for example, feel about him, where they thought that they had a trade sorted out and then found out that nope, in fact, they were trading that the Lakers instead were trading for Russell Westbrook at the 11th hour.
Bye, everyone.